Discussion keeps the world turning.
This is Roundtable.
You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Young. I'm joined by New Hong Lin and Li Yi in the studio. Coming up, ever felt the urge to shake up your social routine? Check out Mind Block Socialization, a captivating trend sweeping through young Chinese people's social culture. It's like cracking open a mystery box of connections, where every encounter is an opportunity for a spontaneous relationship, yet also carries the potential for risks. And our special segment, Motivational Monday, coming your way will give you that adrenaline shot for the start of the week. Our podcast listeners can find us at Roundtable China on Apple Podcast. If you have questions you want us to answer on social issues, business, technology, or whatever moves your spirit, you can send those our way. There's a place to do it, ezfmroundtable@foxmail.com. Emails are fine, but voice memos are always better, and we'd really appreciate it if you could include your name and region of residence in your voice memo, because we want to know a little bit more about you as we're answering your questions. Now on Roundtable, let's turn to our next topic of discussion today. Blind box toys, those toy figurines acquired through a lottery-style system, have been causing quite the frenzy in China for the past few years, so much so that toy manufacturer Pop Mart debuted its IPO on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange in December 2020, riding high on the wave of this craze. Now, fast forward to today, think blind box socializing. In the hustle and bustle of fast-paced city life, where forging meaningful connections can feel like scaling a mountain, could the concept of socializing exclusively with strangers be the key to unlocking the friendships and connections that young people yearn for? Or should I just say all people are yearning for? Offers quite the refreshing departure from the norm, in my opinion. So explain, what is blind box socializing all about, friends? Tell me.
So, in short, I would say blind box social gathering is basically to socialize with completely strangers. So that's the very simple definition of that kind of behavior. Well, you know, just like when you are buying like a blind box of toys, it's really a packaging that, you know, keeps what's inside a mysterious hidden treasure, and you don't really know what's inside the moment you open it. So I think for blind box social gathering is pretty much the similar occasion, which in which you don't really know basically who will be coming for this gathering, and for those people, basically, you know nothing about them, their age, their jobs, and what they do, where are they from, and whether they are single or married, what their hobbies are, and their educational background. These are all like mystery for you, and basically, it's just like opening up blind boxes. So, you know, like sealed packages with randomly selected, picked people. So that's basically how this works.
When I first started reading this topic and looking into it, my initial reaction was, why?
Why would
I want to be friends with complete strangers? Mm-hmm. And then I realized there actually is this need to expand your friend circle out of your classmates, out of your colleagues. You do have that secret, or maybe not that secret, need to socialize with someone that you do not have any conflict of interest with. You can talk to them, you can even give them fake names if you want, and say, I have a friend, and talk about your own experience. You do not even have to do that. You can just say, I am in this situation, and I feel embarrassed of thinking about this, but I do have that special feeling. And because you do not know each other, you don't even have to see each other again if you don't want to. And that very special relationship between you and a complete stranger you just met for the first time that night, that you're sharing a lovely conversation with, maybe it is something that I would want to try.
That is interesting. This reminds me of some not so pleasant memories of speed dating or other dating memories. Okay, so that's why, you know, in the dating world these days, they, you know, what's advised is, if you've never met this person before, nor do you have like much information on this person, then always schedule for a coffee instead of a dinner. Because if you're there for the whole night, or at least, you know, like 1 or 2 hours, that's just time too dear to waste when you see this person and you're like, you know, in like 10 minutes time, you kind of know whether it can. Okay, now I'm talking about dating, so romantic, you know, the possibility of romantic relationships. But if with friendships, maybe it works a little bit differently. And okay, so I'll give you some examples of possible forms how blind box socializing could happen. One is organize these like frisbee throwing events. Mm-hmm. So you're there, you're there for frisbee, aren't you?
Yeah, hobby club.
Okay, so and there, it sounds a little bit new, but a little bit trite at the same time. And then, play hide and seek in the park. Are we, what, five? Well, but this is different.
Yes.
And we've talked about this on the show last year.
Go listen to the previous shows.
Yeah, so that's when actually you use an app to gather people, and then you go to a specifically designated area to play quote-unquote hide and seek.
Also some role-playing thing. You're the mouse or the cat, and then you have to pretend to be the cat when you're actually the mouse, something like that.
So it's like, 21st century version of hide and seek.
Yes.
Adult version of hide and seek. And then who knows what forges from this. Maybe I'm thinking reading too much into it. And okay, so there's that. And there's also in recent months, actually, there has been people who open home bars.
Oh.
And initially, it's not for money, but you possibly have this interest and you have enough supply of booze at home and maybe, PlayStation, Xbox, and, you know, all those games that you can play. And then you advertise on social media and, you know, it's like, you know, enter this WeChat group if you're interested. And then, this sounds like a pretty young person, pretty much a young person's thing. But yeah, home bar events.
Yeah.
As such.
This one to me is actually the most interesting because for the frisbee, for the hide and seek, and also for some new young kid sporty thing. See, I'm not a young kid anymore.
You have a young kid.
I do, yes. too young to attend any of these activities. But the idea is that for those ones, even it's the modern day reading club. You have a common interest and maybe for many of them, they're not even there for friend making. They're there for the activity. They just want some exercise and you cannot do it by yourself. So you gather together a group of people that you do not have to see again to do the activity. So that's that. But this home bar thing, it's definitely for the purpose of socializing with people and maybe becoming new friends. Because if you take a look at some of these home bars, some of them, even the initial reason for them to start a home bar is to make friends. They would post social media posts saying that I am opening my home to people, and mostly the ticket would range from $14 to $40 US, and they would say that you can come here and enjoy a little bit of different kinds of liquor or wine or whatever. And then they would basically expand their home bar to a larger group of people. I think for this specific example, the first time he held a home bar, he welcomed 7 guests, and it grows to around 40 guests. And people are sitting
in a big apartment.
Yeah, and also people are sitting really close to each other, so they have to pick on each other's conversation because it will be so impolite. You're in the conversation.
Yeah. That sounds like a disaster for introverts.
Yeah, you know, actually, as a typical introvert, my initial response to this blind box socializing is also like, why people would do this? I only feel comfortable with people who I know pretty well about, and also people who know me pretty well. But then, you know, for a second thought, I thought maybe strangers are strangers until they are not. Think about those friends you have, really close friends. You're also like building your relation from scratch. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really like at the beginning you know each other very well. No, you just basically have this chance to, you know, have to stay with each other as classmates, as schoolmates, or as doormates. And then you got this chance to know each other. And then maybe you can really, you know, talk in a good way and feel your connection and become good friends. So maybe for those I would say young people, they're also looking for some ways to, you know, finding some new friends in this way. Because for in this way, I think they don't really have to, you know, have those anxiety of being judged because they are basically all strangers. Those people are new to them and he or she is also new to other people. So that's why they don't really have to carry like any type of role. In this occasion, because maybe like at workplace, you still care about how your colleagues and your bosses, your co-workers think about you. So still you want to like behave well. You don't really want improper behavior or wording to affect your career path. And even in private life, I mean, we're either a daughter or a son or a mother or a father or a wife or a husband. So you still carry those roles. So you still want to be good and you can't really be yourself for 100% in those occasions. But in this blind box socializing gathering, maybe people will feel like, oh, I can really be myself 100%. I don't really need to worry about how those people think about me. Even if I said something wrong, I do something wrong, I don't really have to see them for the next time if I don't want to.
Yeah, and also there's a possibility if you like this person, and then you could, you know, develop into a friendship or a relationship or whatnot.
Yeah.
But also, just by the way you guys talked about it, I feel, okay, this is my gut feeling, still says that, okay, this is a young person's thing. You know why? Because if you're a married person, if you have kids, who has time for this? You know?
Well, yeah.
I'm not saying that older folks or people who've entered the next chapter in life don't need friends. Yeah. But most possibly you already have a handful of friends that you know you can rely on. And you might not have so much of this desire that you want to find new friends. But, I mean, of course, this is not, you know, it shouldn't be a blanket statement that applies to everyone. But I can see when younger folks or people who haven't started their own family and have those new or extra family responsibilities, and then they feel, maybe also when you have moved to a new city or started a new job or whatnot, and then you have this need that you need to be with people and socialize with people. And that's an intrinsic need of all human beings. And there's, I encourage people to find these avenues. And also on this show, in our Heart to Heart segment, one question we get repeatedly every year, if not every month, is how can I find a meaningful friendship as an adult? And a lot of people say that in this big city, which is packed with people, and why is it so hard to find someone that I can actually talk to? And I think that's a real need for people.
Yes. And on the other way, well, on the other hand, I feel like young people nowadays are very lucky. They have a lot of different ways to meet new people. They can choose to find a hobby and find a group of people who share that hobby and then start there. Or they can just find total strangers who live nearby and having a home bar night. And that is another way for them to meet new people. And apparently nowadays, the friends-making apps out there focus on different things. There are even apps focusing on collecting the most beautiful people. You have to share your authentic pictures without filters and everything, and you can find similarly level of beautiful people to be friends with. I mean, it's superficial for me, but
yeah, I don't think I can succeed on that app.
So there are no, that's not true, but there are different types of apps out there, and you can just have your very own quirky standards and find your own people, and that is amazing.
But isn't that like a little bit scary when you're, you know, trying to, you know, set really strict criteria for somebody who maybe has the potential to be your friends? You have your criteria for how they look, and also what do they like to do in their private time. I mean, isn't like a really unfair selection in advance for friend making,
unless it's mutual.
We're adults and we're consenting, so let's do stuff. I'm in a strange mood today. Sorry, guys. I apologize. And we've talked about, you know, what draws young people to blind box socializing. And apologies again, but this time is for a reality check. Mm. What are the potential risks and drawbacks that they might encounter?
Well, I think we do see some news saying that, especially for young girls, they might, you know, encounter certain sexual harassment in this kind of blind box socializing, because you don't really know who will be coming and why they're really going for this kind of gathering. And maybe there are some people who are coming with good intention, but some of them are not. So for young people, the safety concern is still there for this kind of blind box socializing gatherings.
Yes, and if we take a look at the home bar we talked about, many of the home bars are basically homes. They should not be opening business to clients or to consumers, yet they're doing that. So this is definitely a gray area. But most examples I came across, the actual home bars at the end actually transformed all of their, let's say, standards, hygiene standards, and also the kind of equipment they use, and they also apply for a license so that they can actually open the business. So that is something very important as well. Making sure the food are, you know, safe and clean.
Yeah. Oh, this just reminds me of old days when I was in college in the US or in the UK. Like, you always have these really friendly hosts who are your friends. And then they would organize, they would have a party, and it could be a potluck. So they don't need to scratch their heads over what to feed people. But anyway, so you bring your own dish or booze, and you gather in somebody's home and have a party. Of course, everybody knows somebody at the party, and that's how you're invited. Mm. And yes, and I could never be a host because I hate cleanup. but there are people who kind of serve this home bar's host role, and everybody loves that person.
Yes, but one very important thing for that person is that if you're the host of this, no matter if it's your friends or no matter if it's strangers you hope to befriend that you get online, if you're hosting that, then you need to make sure no one's driving home under the influence of alcohol, or no one's drinking too much under the pressure of this supposed to be pressureless situation, and all that is your responsibility, so be aware of that.
And also, when you guys mentioned the blind box version of the home bar, then when it becomes a business, then of course it's a different set of rules and legal responsibilities one is subjected to. Do you see that the blind box socialization is a form of leisure, entertainment, or business that will keep on going? Do you see a future for it?
Well, first of all, I don't really think it can be called as a business right now, because it's basically like an intentional gathering among a small group of people. But then if we're going to trying to develop into a business, maybe, as Niu Honglin said, we're going to think about the clear responsibilities of those organizers and also participants. I mean, of course, the organizers, you have to take the responsibilities of taking care of everybody. But then I think for participants, if you are actually aware of the risks it might involve when you're getting engaged with this kind of blind box socializing gathering, so it could also be like a more safe way to conduct it. And then still, I think it's just for young people. I think it's just a way of socializing. It's not really something deeper into a business right now, because maybe they think like strangers are always shiny and new. So that's why they're crazy about this kind of socializing behaviors. But for me personally, I would say deeper friendship is always better than that.
And for me, I feel like it has been there for so many years already. It's basically a more organized way than going into a bar and start dancing and talking to strangers. It's just relatively more organized than that. And also, I feel like young kids nowadays are very creative. They create new games, maybe one per day. And when they do that, they need more people to, you know, join them in their new games. And that is always going to be the need. And that need can always be fulfilled by this stranger socializing or blind box socializing.
Coming up next, Motivational Monday.
Motivational Mondays. Motivational Mondays.
There's no way around a Monday, only through it. So Li Yi, why don't we start with you? What do you have for us?
Well, since the movie Dune 2 is hitting the screen, and I really love the movie, so that's why I'm going to share a quote from this movie and also the book. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. Mm-hmm. It's just a part of the prayer against the fear recited by the characters in the book and also in the movie. I think it really inspires me in the way that it really teaches me how to deal with fear. I think for everybody, we have different kinds of fear deep down in the heart. And I think it's really important to acknowledge it and to admit that it can be really scary to think about those things make you scared. And also to face fear in a more direct way. And somehow to allow the fear to pass through you is really a way to accept and to also detach you from the fear and anxiety. And in the end, to find your inner strength. So that's why I think it's really inspiring. And also that's particularly, I can really feel related to this quote because, you know, I snowboard, I ski. Mm-hmm. And every time, you know, I stand on the top of the mountain, when I was ready to hit the slope, actually, I'm always anxious. I'm always afraid of the speed. Mm-hmm. I think that's the very natural fear of every person who skis. However, every time I just tell myself that, come on, you can overcome the fear. And as long as you hit this slope successfully, and it's okay, even if you fell down. And it's really important to challenge yourself to overcome the fear and to do the things you think it is right to do. So that's why I really want to share this quote to our listeners.
You did a really good job selling the quote and skiing.
Yeah, and actually, I think that that's the charm of skiing, actually, to give you a chance to overcome your fear. And you can always feel better when you accomplish the hitting and the slope. Mm. And so that's why I encourage everybody to get involved in this snow sport.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a really thrilling aspect of it. And in skiing and a lot of other sports that asks you to let go,
yeah,
but not completely. It's like confined and controlled risks, and you won't actually hurt yourself, hopefully, touch wood, touch wood. But yeah, I think that is a great experience, and it's even better when Li Yi can come up with a thought-provoking reflection from it. So thank you very much for what you're sharing. And Niu Honglin, it's your turn now. So what are you going to share with us?
Well, my quote today is, building resilience is about developing the capacity to tolerate distress, to stay in and with a tough, challenging moment, to find our footing and our goodness, even when we don't have confirmation of achievement or pending success. This quote is from a book called Good Inside, A Guide to Becoming the Parent You Want to Be.
Okay, can we change it into like to become a better person? You are. Okay, parenting.
Yes, actually, my kid is quickly running to Terrible 2, and that scares me. So
Terrible 2?
Yeah, that is a stage that he or she would always say no to you and do things to destroy the home if they're really strong. But no, not destroy, just to just to create troubles. And I realized to become a better parent, maybe relying solely on your instinct is not enough. So I started to read certain books and watch certain documentaries and videos. And I realized this is also a good educational, let's say, experience, not only to becoming a better parent, but to becoming a better version of yourselves. Because there are certain things that you neglect when you grow up during your process of becoming an adult. There are little holes that I can fill again once you start growing up once again with your kid. And this is the quote I find, and I found the quote quite inspiring, and I realized because we would live our life and there's no there's always a peak in your life. So it's not always going to be as good as the previous days or previous moments. It can stay in the stage that you feel uncomfortable or not satisfied with yourself forever. Mm. And it's okay. It's the reality of life. So being able to have the resilience to cope with life is quite important. So I'm sharing this quote with everyone out there.
Very great. It is. And resilience is something that might also ring with the song that I am going to share with you. It's a massive hit called Shots by alternative rock band Imagine Dragons from their second studio album, Smoke Plus Mirrors, in 2015. And the song deserves a slot in the Motivational Monday segment because of its energetic melody and powerful vocals, which creates an uplifting atmosphere that can inspire you guys to push through obstacles and keep moving forward. And this song is self-loathing, yet super upbeat. A track I would like to share with you. And the song started ringing, so there's no time to share the lyrics with you, but have a deep listen. And I hope you find resilience, power, and good faith on this Monday. Thank you so much, Li Yi and Yong Honglin, for joining the discussion. I'm He Yang. Enjoy the music, and we'll see you next time.